Are you?
Four hours is all I can get.
Wow.
Big camera, $50 on one of those, so.
I talked to Alex. I already saw you today.
You did?
I talked to you today.
Okay.
Yeah.
I called you.
I don't remember that.
I do.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
You have to be careful the way that happens.
Uh-oh. Well, she's already been striking my legs anyhow, so I mean, you know, one more time ain't gonna hurt. She is a mess.
Yeah.
Hey, it's 6:30. It's 6:30.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to Fairburn City Council. It is 6:01, and we're going to start our workshop. We've had some records this year as far as how long council meeting lasts, but I think we're going to break the record tonight.
Wow.
At 7:00. It's my hope that I can break this record tonight. We are going to have an executive session tonight. I will be calling an executive session concerning a personnel issue, and so I don't expect that to last more than 5 or 10 minutes. Yes. With that being said, Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please? Present.
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 The Honorable Councilman Pat Powell.
Present.
The Honorable Councilwoman Hattie Portis Jones.
Present.
The Honorable Councilman Ulysses J. Smallwood.
Present.
The Honorable Councilman James Whitmore.
Present.
Madam Mayor, the attendance of council constitutes a quorum. Please allow the meeting to proceed.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. We don't have any presentations at the workshop this evening, nor do we have a public hearing. There are three items on the agenda tonight, council members. I'm going to ask that all three items, we can have a discussion, but I'm going to ask that all three items be moved to the regular agenda. One is the appointment of our city clerk and her swearing in, and the other are two items from finance. One is our millage rate adoption. It has not changed, and the other is our adoption of our budget for FY 2019-20. Okay, the first, I'm going to ask the finance director to come up and just give us an overview if you want to, or we can wait until the 7:00 meeting, unless council has some questions that they want to ask you in the workshop and not at the 7:00. It just depends on what you want to do.
It's okay. I need a better understanding of some of this. So
okay.
I may have some questions.
Okay. So you want to do it now?
It's fine with me. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Would you come up, please, Ms. Jackson, who's the Director of Finance for the City of Fairburn?
Good evening, Mayor and Council and citizens.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Do you want me to do the millage and the budget as well?
Yes, please.
Okay. The City of Fairburn's net millage rate will remain at 8.100, where it has been in excess of 5 years. The GO bond portion of that is 1.46 for a total of 9.56, which is the total millage rate, and which has also been the same way last year. Okay, for the budget, the public hearing on the fiscal year 2020 budget was held on September 9th, 2019. Tonight, the budget is presented for adoption along with an amendment. As a recap, the proposed budget for fiscal year 2020 is $54,182,538 and includes budget amendments totaling $297,510 for the general fund, $29,712 for the confiscated asset fund, and $174,510 for the technology fee fund. The fiscal year 2020 proposed general fund budget represents a 4% increase over the FY 2019 budget. The overall budget represents a 36% increase over FY 2019 due to additional funding in the Grants Fund, Capital Projects Fund, T-SPLOS Fund, Confiscated Asset Fund, and the Technology Fee Fund. The proposed amendments are as follows. A transfer out of the general fund to the Technology Fee Fund in the amount of $174,510. A law passed the General Assembly in 2014 and was to become effective July 1, 2014, where a portion of the fine revenue is pulled off. Every time someone receives a ticket or some sort of fine in the municipal court, that revenue is pulled off and set aside for technology funding for police and court services. We're setting that fund aside at this point.
Okay.
The second amendment, we will increase the fire department equipment expenses for two life packs in the amount of $60,000. The third, we will increase personal services for the police department in the amount of $48,000. And the fourth, we will increase education and training expenses for council members on two boards or committees in leadership roles. The mayor will review the parameters for the $3,700 education and training account at this time.
Okay.
Did you have questions?
Yeah, I wanted to know what the increase for the police department of $48,000, does that involve?
We're going to go back to that.
Okay, that's good.
She's asking me now if I would give her, could you bring those up for me, Jessica? I think I sent each one of you all an email concerning the parameters for $3,700.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give them to you now. It is my recommendation to council that the $3,700, which is education and training, where we've placed a $15,000 cap, that this particular account is only used for education and training for council members that sits on boards or committees. With that being said, it is of my opinion, and we're going to have a discussion, that only two boards or committees will be allowed under this $3,700 account. What I'm saying is that it doesn't matter. We're not trying to limit you from sitting on any boards or committees. It's just that the city of Fairburn will only pay for two. Okay? And there are three meetings that $3,700 would not be allowed, and that's the National League of Cities meeting in Washington, D.C., and the NLC November City Summit that's held in different cities throughout the United States, and also the GMA annual meeting that's held in Savannah each year. So with that being said, do you have any questions about the $3,700 account for FY 19-20 budget?
Just want some clarity, Mayor. Did you say that these meetings that you just listed, name, mm-hmm. they will not be authorized to use under that account?
The $3,700. You would have to use your regular training account.
Okay.
For those meetings. The $3,700 is just for boards and committees that you may be a member of. National League of City has several boards and committees, also GMA. But the city will only pay out of this $3,700 account for two. That is the limit. And you cannot use the $3,700 for any of these three meetings.
Yeah.
So So are there any questions about the parameters for $3,700?
Just clarification also, Mayor. Of course, I haven't sat on any boards or any committees during my first board tenure, but the plan is, if I am reelected, to sit on one with both GMA and also with NLC. And is my understanding that when these boards do meet, it's usually once a year, no more than one time a year, is that correct?
Most of the time it's once, maybe twice a year. I'm with Small Cities Human Development and a couple of other boards and committees. Sometimes these committees will pay your travel. They'll pay your travel or they'll pay for your hotel. National League of Cities Board of Directors, I sat there for 4 years. They paid for all of my travel, and I didn't have to use my personal travel account. So these particular meetings that I named are very expensive. Whenever the council goes to Washington, D.C., 3 to 5, 6 day stay there, it's going to run you $2,900, $3,100. So I don't think it's fair for a council member to use the $3,700 to go to one of these meetings and still have their $12,000 for regular travel.
And just for the sake of sharing, I know in the past 4 years, for my regular travel and training, I have always fell below that threshold. And then I do recall during my first year, because I didn't attend many meetings, I did share some of my 12K with other members that sat up on council. So actually, I think this is pretty fair.
Okay, well, are there any more comments concerning line item 3,700?
Yes, Mayor.
Okay.
I serve on the board currently of the National League of Cities, and unfortunately, I don't enjoy them paying for my travel the way that you did. So I think it is unfair to overlay your experience on the what's happening today. I think the this needs to reflect what is happening. I've not had that experience, not once, for the National League of Cities to reimburse my travel being on the board. So if you know something that you can share that would allow me to enjoy that benefit, I'd appreciate that as well.
It's called Connections with the National League of Cities Board of Director, the Executive Director. It's just called Connections.
Okay, so
you have to get your connections with him, as I had the 4 years that I was there.
Okay, so that means all of the council members, if they want to serve on the Board of Directors of the National League of Cities, they need to have a connection with the Board of Directors, with the
executive. I'm saying that the 4 years that I sat on the National League of City Board of Directors, that my travel to their meetings was paid for. Now, I don't know about yours. Mine was paid for.
I'm telling you,
okay, well, mine was paid for. So does council have any other questions about the $3,700, or did you have any more comments about it?
I am asking that the two minimum be raised to three, because serving on the board of the National League of Cities also has subcommittees associated with it. You served on the Finance Committee, which was part of the Executive Committee. That's a different area, and that it enjoyed different benefits than other members of the board. So I think it is very unfair and unreasonable for you to overlay, you know, the fact that you got all of yours paid for. And I will raise that with the executive director and to see if that was unique to you or if that is applied across the board.
Okay.
But that has not been my experience.
Okay. Council, my recommendation is that we remain at two boards or committees that we do not go to three. I think three is a little overlap. So I'll leave it up to you to, and if we need to vote on this at the full meeting, I suggest that we do. But it is my suggestion and my recommendation to members of council that the boards and committee remains at two.
May I say one other thing, Mayor? May I have your permission to speak?
Sure.
For the audience, this account, 3700, actually came about at the request of then Councilwoman Elizabeth Carhurst. She came to the governing body at that moment, at that time, I believe it was either 15 or 16, and said, because she has these other obligations with the National League of Cities, that the city should provide those additional dollars to help support that. The one thing that this city does do is encourage training, and it does encourage participation in leadership roles. Those leadership roles have benefits accrued to the city as a result of that. For the now mayor of the city to want to change the rules because she is no longer on the board, or because she enjoyed a relationship with the executive director that allowed her to get all of her travels covered, I think is unfair to the rest of us. And I will share with all of you one of the trips that I just returned from, that because I serve on the board and because I serve as a committee chair, required me to be in Washington to be a part of the National League of Cities fly-in, or what we call lobby day. We were on the Hill all 3 days, and we're meeting nonstop with members of Congress and the Senate from all over the country. So for her to change the rules now that she is no longer serving on the board, I think is unfair to the rest of us. But it is up to the council.
Thank you so much, Councilwoman Portis-Jones. I'm not going to even respond to that. We're going to move on. I'm going to ask council at the regular meeting for us to have a vote and decide if we want to go with two committees or three. And let me say to the audience, this is not about me. It is about the city's money, and that this $15,000 is spread equally among all of the council members. With that being said, Ms. Finance Director, would you continue, please?
Those four amendments total $297,510 for the general fund budget. Once again, for the confiscated assets fund, it's $29,712, and it's to increase building renovations. For the technology fee fund, it's establishing a budget for that fund in the amount of $174,510, technology services for court services and the police department. And those are funds that have been collected off of those fines since 2014 when the law took effect.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Have you finished?
Yes.
Okay. Councilwoman Day.
Yes. I wanted to know the increased personal services, $48,000 to the police department. Can you tell me a little bit about what that involves and what that cost is about, the personal services?
That $48,000 was for a position that was removed from the budget, but has been the deletion of that position covered an increase for the police officers. Covered a 4% increase for the police officers.
Okay, we deleted a position in the police department?
Yes. A position that was vacant was deleted in order to cover the cost.
Chief, would you come up, please?
Yeah.
The $48,000 in addition to the cost of another vacant position funds the increase.
Okay.
Okay.
Councilwoman Davis, what we did is we took away a position of code enforcement. We had five. Oh, okay. We deleted one to four, and we're using that salary, that funding, to give the police officers a pay raise.
Okay, so it's not any additional new money kind of thing, right? Okay, just a transfer. Okay, good.
I have a follow-up question, Mayor.
Just a second. Did you have another question?
No.
Okay.
I understand.
Councilwoman Porter-Jones.
So, Chief, would you explain why you don't need the fifth code enforcement position, and how are you realigning the deployment of the four to cover the same territory as previously covered by five?
Well, ma'am, what they did is they had four code enforcement officers that worked the four zones, and they had one of them as a supervisor. Well, at this time, I have a sergeant that's supervising them, so I no longer needed that position.
All right, and then what work then will the sergeant not be able to do because he or she is managing code enforcement?
There's nothing that he will not be able to do. He's in charge of the code enforcement and the Special Operations Division. And so he has a four-man special operations division. He has four code enforcement officers.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Thanks, Chief.
Thank you. Any more, Councilman Heath?
Yes, ma'am. I was noticing on Fund 220, confiscated funds, the manual that I had that took home and read over, showed approved budget of in 2019 of 153 and proposed budget of $29,712 and a variance of plus $29,559. Then on the one that you handed to me here, this one, it's showing line 220, approved budget of 153. And then you just got a hyphen there, and then it's showing it's lowered by $153.
That's the variance.
In parentheses.
That's the variance.
On that overview page that you're referring to,
yes,
that
ma'am.
Was from the proposed budget prior to the amendment from last week. That's okay. Just the packet of last week's proposed budget.
Got it.
And then with these amendments, it will take that to the $29,712, which reflects funds that we received for confiscated assets.
Got it. So in other words, we don't have to appropriate the money. The money is there, the $29,712.
Correct. We have received that funding.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And this just establishes a budget so that they can use it.
Okay. Thank you.
Just so Councilman Heath understands, we had confiscated cash in a arrest.
Okay.
And it was over $29,000. The law requires that that money be placed in a pending confiscated fund account.
Yes.
Until the court makes a disposition. Once that court makes that disposition and is in our favor, that money is turned over to the cities.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. That's right. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much. Okay, Council, do you have anything that you would like to bring before Council tonight? Mr. Whitmore?
No, ma'am.
Okay, other than that you're running again.
Well, since you opened that door.
Oh, I open it.
So, yes, ma'am, I am running for my second term here on City Council. And we had a debate a week or so ago, and there wasn't a big turnout. We had a couple of citizens there, and we appreciate you being there. But you know what was interesting to me during the debate is the questions that were asked and the responses from the candidates that were there. Just for your information, we have three incumbents that are running and another gentleman that ran 4 years ago. What was interesting to me is the responses that was generated from the questions, and I tell you, I applaud my colleagues. I think we did an outstanding job. I think we have our finger on the pulse of the city, and I've enjoyed the 4 years, it will be 4 years as of the 31st of December, that I have been on council. What I also announced during my closing comments was that I think each of us really has a signature project that we've been working on. As you know, one of mine when I became a councilman was bringing the STEAM program to the city of Fairburn. which has fared well. With additional information to that, a satellite STEAM program was in Chattahoochee Hills now. And then this past summer, Mr. Childs went out to LA. They heard about the program in LA. He went out there, started a summer program out there. And now he's going back in January to actually start an after-school program in LA. And the money that is being presented for this program is astronomical. And I think it's a testament of the quality of the program that we have here in the city of Fairburn. And let me say this for the record, that program is housed and located here in Fairburn. And I am so proud that we were able to actually make that happen for that program here in the city of Fairburn. So let me tell you about my signature project that I announced. The one thing that this city is lacking, and it has lacked for many, many years, is a community center. With that being said, I had communication with the authorization from the mayor. I communicated with our engineer and also with our building inspector. And my ask was that they provide me with a 10 to 12,000 square foot facility out of Duncan Park. And also, I ask that the foundation be of such that we can build up at a later date. Right now, we're only looking at one level. Since I announced that, I had additional conversations with some people in the community, and they said, well, why don't you just present both the single level and the double level and let the people decide? And I think that's a great idea. So, Mr. Harvey Stokes, my ask now is that we provide renderings for both, and then we'll let the people decide when we start having public meetings. Also, my ask is that mayor and council, if you would support this endeavor, because as you all know, the community center that we have over here by the police station, it takes care of the younger youth. Yes, we have some adult programming in there, but if any adult man, any adult woman, or teenager wants to go and play basketball because of the ceilings being slow, that's not going to happen. Also, we have outgrown our current location. With the programming that is coming forth to the city of Fairburn, and we're trying to reach our youngest youth to our oldest adult, I think that it is imperative that we, as leaders of this city, look at bringing a nice building that will occupy various activities within the city of Fairburn as we continue to grow. And I think it's going to be a very exciting project, and I am just proud to be one that's spearheading. But as you know, I can't do anything without my colleagues and the mayor, so I ask you to embrace and support it, and additional information will be forthcoming.
Okay, does any other council member have anything? Councilman Heath?
Yeah, I don't know if people have noticed or not, but we have Post Cereal that has built a warehouse, and it's in the area next to the auto auction. There is another building going to be built in front of it. But our roads over on that area, Fayetteville Road, as well as what's the other road there?
Oakley Industrial.
Those roads are in desperate need of repair. And I'd like to see something happen to whereby we can get them, because the added truck traffic is going to do nothing but do more damage and destroy it. Fayetteville Road, it's got to a point that you have to dodge ruts in the road and stuff like that. It's terrible. And also, Oakley Industrial, before you get to the bridge, before the auto auction coming from the McDonald's area and all, you're just weaving in and out continually of traffic to avoid the ruts and the holes that are there. So that would, that's the major thing that I would like to focus on is that. And Mayor, do you have any idea when they may do something on Fayetteville Road? I know.
Let me ask, what tier is Fayetteville, Mr. Thompson?
We're waiting on, we can do it, just waiting on some infrastructure repair for one line before we do that road.
Okay.
We know Fayetteville Road needs to be repaired. What about the location project to take place first?
Yeah, I know we had a problem with the water lines in one of the subdivisions there past my house, and there was no water pressure at all in the area where I live. So I do know that we do need to take care of the infrastructure as well. But like I say, the roads are in terrible shape. And I appreciate, you know, anything you can do to go ahead and get some help in that area. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Heath. Any other council member? Ms. Davis, I know you're running this year, so I know you're out there.
I am out there. I'm just excited to be able to continue what I have been able to start here in the city of Fairburn. I've been a council member about 14 months. Seems like a little bit longer. You see, my hair is turning, but yeah, but no.
Try mine.
But I've been very excited. What I have been able to do, coming in as a new councilwoman, I've been able to utilize my business skills. For some of you that may not know, I owned a business, a staffing company. It was a franchise of Norrell Corporation. It was a staffing company in Atlanta. I had it for 10 years. I actually staffed the Georgia Lottery when it came here. It was a $1 million contract that just came into my window. But it really wasn't just in the window. It came to me because I was very active in the community and people knew my services and they knew what my reputation was, and they directed GTEC, who ran the lottery, to Dynamic People, which was my franchise. So I was able to convert all of those business skills when I jumped both feet into a council person. I've been able to help out the mayor and help the council with contracts, negotiations, comparing contracts with what they have done, what they said they would do, and when they didn't do it, then we had to have some conversations. So I'm excited about being able to run again. I'm very serious about what I do here because I'm very serious about being a steward of the citizens' taxpaying dollars. And I think that's what we all feel like we are. We are stewards. And also, I'm excited about being a servant of the people. I make sure I respond to any inquiries to me from citizens, whether it be roads, and I get a lot of that, Councilman Heath, that I make a response, or I shoot things over to Lester. He's on my speed dial, and get a response back to our constituents. So I have more to do. I have more gifts to serve in, and I'm looking forward to being back here in January 2020. Thank you.
Does any other council member have anything to bring before the full council tonight?
Yes, Mayor, I do.
Councilwoman Portis-Jones.
First of all, I question the appropriateness of campaigning from this dais. I'm really taken aback by that. And quite frankly, that is not democracy at work. It is unfair to any person who is running because you're sitting on the dais. So to be up here campaigning, I don't think is appropriate. That being said, Councilman Whitmore, I am glad to know that you are interested and enthusiastic about Community Center because that was one of the things that I brought on board when I was elected in 2014. And the conversation that I have been having and what I had hoped would have been a part of the T-Splash dollars
was to have a secondary entrance into Duncan Park. Part of the problem with having huge capacity in Duncan Park is because we only have one way in and one way out. So, it is my understanding that that becomes a requirement before we start considering a huge community center. So I would ask that be done in conjunction with the review of the square footage that Councilman Whitmore is asking for. And I am very enthusiastic and glad to know when you're back on council that that is a project that you are also interested in.
Council, is there anything else? Nope. Any comments? Okay. Well, it's 6:35. We're going to adjourn the workshop, and we'll be back into full council meeting at 7 o'clock. Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to the Fairburn City Council. This is our regular meeting. Today is September the 23rd. Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
The Honorable Mayor Elizabeth Carhurst.
Present.
The Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Linda J. Davis.
Present.
The Honorable Councilman Alex Heath.
Present.
The Honorable Councilman Pat Power.
Present.
The Honorable Councilwoman Hattie Portis Jones.
Present.
Present. The Honorable Councilman James Whitmore.
Present.
Madam Mayor, the attendance of council constitutes a quorum. Please allow me to proceed.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. We are going to have the invocation tonight by Pastor Darius Cota of the First Baptist Church of Fairburn. I ask that you stand and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the privilege that you give us to come before you, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for each one of these men and women that give their time, their life, for the betterment of Fairburn, Lord. Lord, and we just pray tonight for wisdom. We pray for guidance. Lord, we pray for unity. Lord, and the more I read about the history of Fairburn, the more we fall in love with it, Lord. Lord, let it continue to be one Fairburn, one family, Lord. And we just pray for everything that's going to be spoken about today. Lord, and we just pray for our schools, our teachers, Lord, for their safety day in and day out. Lord, we thank you for our police department, for our fire department. Lord, and help us to be sensitive, Lord, that every time, at whatever time of the day we hear a siren, Lord, that we can just pray for them, Lord, for their safety. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing, what you've done, and thank you for the future of Fairburn, Lord. We love you, we thank you, and we ask this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have one presentation tonight, but we're going to delay this for the time being. We're waiting on someone to arrive and don't want to do it without the person being here. Madam Clerk, let's go to the public comments. How many do we have for tonight?
Madam Mayor, we have one speaker.
Okay, would you call the speaker, please?
Mr. Darren Williams.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Yes, to the mic. Right over there, over there.
Well, good evening to all of you.
Good evening.
My name is Darren, and actually, I'm a new homeowner here in Fairburn at St. John's Crossing, and job transferred me out to Georgia. And I really love the neighborhood. It's really, really nice, and I like the subdivision that I live in and the community as a whole. Now, there are two comments, so I'm going to make it quick. The trains. I live way over in St. John's Crossing, and my neighbor told me that sometimes these trains, the horns, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, and they wake the kids up. And sometimes these little kids, they cannot go back to sleep. And they go to school tired. Now, I did some research about it, and I sent a letter asking them if they could just kind of adjust the noise level a little bit, you know, if there's some time parameters. So that was one issue. The other one, Duncan Park. I enjoy Duncan Park. I'm an avid runner. But the pool, I love the pool, but it is crowded with kids. And is it possible that they can have at least an hour once it closed just for adults, or like a community center for the adults where we could have adult activities? That's it.
Thank you. And welcome to the neighborhood. Council, we're going to go to the adoption of the council agenda. We have no consent items tonight. The council agenda has 3 items on it. One is from the Office of the Mayor, and that's going to be the appointment of Ms. Erica Birdsong Miller as City Clerk for the City of Fairburn. Finance Director has to review and approve the city's millage rate for 2019, and also to review and approve the proposed FY 2019-2020 budget. The next item on the agenda is the adoption of the City Council. May I have a motion to approve these items?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Ms. Davis, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Let's have the adoption of the City Council minutes, the regular meeting minutes for September the 9th, 2019. You've been presented with a draft copy of the minutes. Do you have any corrections, additions, or any other issues with those minutes?
No.
Seeing none, is there a motion on the floor to approve the minutes of September 9th, 2019?
So moved.
Motion made by Councilman Heath. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mayor Pro Tem Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries 6-0, approved. The minutes are also, you are given sealed minutes of the executive session that was held on September the 9th, 2019. Is there a motion on the floor to approve the executive session?
So moved.
Motion made by Councilman Whitmore, second by Councilman Smallwood. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Executive session minutes of September 9th approved 6-0. The first item on the agenda tonight is going to be from the Office of the Mayor, and that is going to be the appointment of Ms. Erica Birdsong Miller as City Clerk for the City of Fairburn. Before we begin, I would like to get Ms. Miller to come forth so she can introduce herself to the mic. Introduce herself to.
Hi, Fairburn.
Hi.
Hello. I'm Erica Birdsong Miller, and I am been in local government for about 3 years, and I am excited to be here. And if I can be of any service, my door is always open. Email, phone calls, I welcome them.
Okay. Is there a motion on the floor to appoint Ms. Erica Birdsong Miller as the clerk for the City of Fairburn?
So moved.
Motion made by Councilman Heath. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Councilman Whitmore. All those in favor?
Aye.
Question.
Aye.
Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Yes, Erica, it's a pleasure to meet you, please don't take what I'm about to say personally. But I sent an email to Mayor Hurst, as well as my colleague, referencing our city charter and our ordinance about the process for hiring a city clerk. And that is section 2122, and it says that the city council is to hire the city clerk. This is the first time in my 6 years on council that the council was not involved in that process. I did not know that interviews were taking place, that we received applicants, and in the past, council has interviewed those applicants, and council has made recommendations regarding those applicants. And so I am raising this as a question so that I can understand and get clarification on why now the charter was not followed. So just please help me to understand.
Let me answer that question, and then I'll defer that to our city attorney. Section 2-122 of our Code of Ordinances, Section 2-122 of our Code of Ordinances for the City of Fairburn states as follows. The City Council shall appoint a city clerk who shall not be a council member. The city clerk shall be custodian of the official city seal and maintain city council records required by this code, the city charter, or state law. The City of Fairburn has never been involved in the interviewing of the city clerk. Now, what I have done in the past, in 2018, as my first year of mayors, was try to get the city council involved. And with that, we had, I think, two or three clerks that I think one or two, the council did have conversations with them. The hiring of a city clerk is the responsibility of bringing forth that nominee to the council is the responsibility of the mayor. That is a day-to-day operations. It is not something that the city council members as a whole will do. And so for that reason, council was not made aware of this person. This person was brought before you tonight as a person that I have interviewed. She's gone before interview panel. and the choice was made to bring her for the council to appoint. This is what our charter says. And so before we go any further, I would like to defer that my interpretation to our city attorney, Ms. Valerie Ross. Ms. Ross.
Yes, Mayor. As you stated, the mayor does have nominating authority to bring a person to council for consideration for appointment, and then council can at that time do an up or down vote if you want to appoint the person that has been nominated by the mayor. The charter nor the code speaks to an interview process. You can interview if that is the, you know, what the council wants to do as a policy, but that has not been implemented here. It's just the code of laws and what the charter requires. And here, the code of laws says, again, that the city council shall appoint a city clerk who shall not be a city council member. It does not speak to an interview process, and also the charter does not speak to an interview process. So historically in Fairburn, what happens is the mayor submits a nominee for appointment to council, and then council considers that nomination and does an up or down vote on that person.
Can I ask the question, please?
Yes.
Okay. Historically, the council has interviewed applicants for city clerk. We have had numerous city clerks, and the council was involved in all of those except this one. And you made a statement about if it's our policy, and the policy is implied by the way that we have practiced interviewing. So, historically, again, council has always been in that process in the last 6 years. At a minimum, Mayor, you could have had some conversation with us to let us know, or to let me know, I'm sure other council members probably did know, that you were undergoing this process, and that this person you were selecting, for you to present this person to us at full council prior to that happening, I think is doing a disservice to her, doing a disservice to this council, and more importantly, a disservice to the residents of this city.
I don't normally will respond to some things, but I'm going to respond to this. My job here, Councilwoman Portis Jones, is the mayor of this city. I am the chief executive officer of this city. Presently, I am also running the city. The day-to-day operations of the city falls on my shoulder. The city clerk is not interviewed by city council, who does legislative work. She has been interviewed. She has been properly interviewed by a panel. And so I bring before you tonight, council members, this young lady as our next city clerk. Now, historically, as you say, the council may have been involved, but you probably were only involved when I became mayor last year, and I was trying to be inclusive of council because that had never happened in the past. But that is not something that the city council members do. And so I made an executive decision as the chief executive officer of this city. That is my decision to make, and I made that decision. And so I have brought it before council in the proper setting tonight to be appointed. And so Council, do you have any other questions that you would like to ask myself or Ms. Miller concerning her appointment? Mayor Pro Tem Davis.
Yes, Mayor. I'm looking at Ms. Birdsong's resume, Birdsong Miller, excuse me. And under your education, you have here certification, the Georgia Clerk's Education Regional Training, 69 hours, Carl Vinson Institute of Government, University of Georgia. Have you completed that certification? And if not, how many more hours do you have to complete it?
When I applied for the job, I had 69 hours, but before I came, I earned the full 81. So I still have to do 19, I believe, elective hours, but all the required courses are fulfilled prior to coming to the city, but not before I applied for the job. So my resume is the one that I submitted when I applied.
Okay, but you have 19 more hours to go to actually be certified?
Yes.
Again. Okay.
Okay, are there any other questions for Ms. Miller? Was there a motion on the floor? I can't remember. Madam Clerk, is there a motion and a second? Okay, is there a motion on the floor to appoint Ms. Erica Birdsong Miller as the clerk for the City of Fairburn?
So moved.
Second. Motion made by Councilman Whitmore and seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0. If you will stay there, I'm going to come down and administer the oath of office for you. You want to hold it for?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. You want to raise your right hand? Put your hand on the Bible. Raise your right hand.
Right.
Wait, right hand? Okay. Okay. Raise your right hand. Okay. Ready? All right. You ready? Okay. I, Erica Birdsong Miller.
I, Erica Birdsong Miller.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will faithfully and truly perform
the duties of City Clerk of the City of Fairburn.
The duty of City Clerk to the City of Fairburn.
And that I will support and defend.
And I will support and defend.
The United States Constitution.
The United States Constitution.
The Constitution of the State of Georgia.
The Constitution of the State of Georgia.
And the Charter of the City of Fairburn.
And the Charter of the City of Fairburn.
To the best of my skills.
To the best of my skills.
And ability.
And ability.
And as to me.
And as to me.
Shall seem. To the best of interest,
to the best of interest
and welfare of the city,
and welfare of the city,
without fear,
without fear,
favor
or affection.
I do further swear,
I do further swear
or affirm that I am not the holder,
that I am not the holder
of any unaccounted
public money,
do this state, or any political subdivision, or authority thereof. That I am not the holder, of any office, or trust, under the government of the United States, any other state,
or any foreign state,
which by the laws of the state of Georgia,
I am prohibited
from holding,
and that I am otherwise
qualified to be.
A public officer,
according
to the Constitution
and laws of the state of Georgia.
So help me God.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you so much. The next item on the agenda is for Mayor and Council to review and approve the city's millage rate for 2019 and also review and approve the proposed FY 2019-2020 budget by Finance Director Ms. Angela Jackson.
The City of Fairburn's net millage rate will remain at 8.100, where it has been since 2011, plus 1.46 for the bond fund for a total of 9.56 mils.
Council, do you have any questions concerning the city's millage rate for 2019? Okay, Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Yes, Ms. Jackson, could you explain for the record, as well as for clarity of our residents, about the rollback and the rollback millage rate? Because the gross millage rate was 17, and then the rollback was applied that brought it down to 9. Could you explain what that is?
The gross millage rate was 17.466 for 2019, less the rollback rate of 9.366 for the net millage rate of 8.100. Had we decided to increase the millage, we would have done a series of hearings, three hearings, and then the adoption.
Right, but what is the rollback? Why does it exist, and what does it allow us to do?
The rollback rate would maintain the same rate as last year, net of any reassessments done to the digest. The millage rate itself is $1 for every $1,000 value of the home, assessment of the home.
Okay, and how is it that we can afford a rollback? So I'm trying to understand, what is a rollback? Why is it that we are allowed? If the gross millage rate is 17, what did you say, 17.466? Okay, so that's what it should be, but the fact that we have a rollback and are allowed to apply the rollback to that 17, bringing it down to the 9, and so I'm asking you to explain what that is, why we are able to do that, and how it benefits the residents in terms of its the payment of property taxes.
Once your value of your digest increases, based upon any reassessment value that may happen in there, for example, the values have increased because the housing market is better, you can either accept that and increase the millage rate and accept in those reassessment values, or you can roll those values back and keep your net millage rate the same. And that's what the City of Fairburn has decided to do, is to maintain their net millage rate at 8.100 and not increase the digest by the reassessment value that has occurred.
All right, thank you very much.
Are there any other questions? Is there a motion on the floor to approve the city millage rate at 8?
So moved. Second.
Motion made by Councilman Palin and second by Councilman Heath. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0. The next item on the agenda, Ms. Jackson, is the review and approval of the proposed FY 2019-2020 budget.
The public hearing on the fiscal year 2020 budget was held on September 9, 2019. Tonight, the budget is presented for adoption along with an amendment. As a recap, the proposed budget for fiscal year 2020 is $54,182,538 and includes budget amendments totaling $297,510 for the general fund, $29,712 for the confiscated asset fund, and $174,510 for the technology fee fund. The FY 2020 proposed general fund budget represents a 4% increase over the FY 2019 budget. The overall budget represents a 36% increase over the FY 2019 budget due to additional funding in the Grants Fund, Capital Projects Fund, TSPLOS Fund, Confiscated Asset Fund, and the Technology Fee Fund. The proposed amendments are as follows. A transfer out of the general fund to establish the Technology Fee Fund in the amount of $174,510. The law was adopted by the General Assembly and became effective on July 1, 2014, and this fund is now established as a requirement of that law. Number two, for the fire fund, there's an increase in other equipment expenses for two life packs, $60,000, and for the police department, an increase in personal services of $48,000. And number four, increase in education and training expenses for council members on two boards or committees in leadership roles. The mayor has explained the parameters of the $3,700 education and training account.
Yes, and I would like to make this a part of the record. I want a consensus from council. In workshop, I explained to you that I'm asking that account $3,700, which is education and training, be used by council members for no more than two boards or committees for our FY19-20 budget. And that the National League of Cities meeting in Washington, D.C. In March is not included. The National League of Cities City Summit meeting is not included, nor the GMA annual meeting that's held every year in Savannah. So I'm asking council for a consensus on two boards or committees only for $3,700. Is there any further discussion on $3,700? Is there a consensus for us to have just two? Ms. Portis-Jones, you're out of order. You're out of order, Ms. Portis-Jones.
Oh, I thought you asked if
I'm speaking, Ms. Portis-Jones. You are out of order. I'm asking council, do you have any suggestions, or is there any, do you object to the two boards of committees being used for line item $3,700? Is there any, do you have any suggestions? Two?
Two is fine.
Okay, Ms. Portis-Jones, you may speak now.
Thank you very much, Mayor. During the work session, we talked about the two meetings, and in thinking about that discussion, I would ask that we allocate a dollar amount per council member versus the number of meetings. That will allow us to use those dollars as judiciously as we can to maximize participation on national boards and committees.
Okay, you heard the suggestion by Ms. Portis-Jones. I'm asking that we go with the two boards or committees and not put a dollar amount on the boards or committees for the travel to those two meetings. Is there a consensus? Is there any discussion on Ms. Portis-Jones' suggestion? No. Is there any? What is council's feelings concerned that just the two boards or committees for use of the $3,700? Mr. Whitmore?
Well, as I stated during the work session, Mayor, looking at the $3,700, I do recall when the $3,700 came into play. I was not on council at the time, but I sat in many, many council meetings. And after becoming a council member, I do remember Mayor Avery questioning the $3,700 and how it was being used, and I do recall a very heated conversation in reference to that. Based on what was initially established and what the proposal is, I feel that this would be adequate to help any council member that sits on two boards outside of NLC, Washington, D.C., NLC City Summit, or the convention, the annual convention that we have within GMA. I like the proposal. I believe that this should work for us all.
Is there any, Mayor Pro Tem Davis?
Yes, Mayor. In reference to having funds allocated to each council member under this budget line item, $3,700, I think would be more of an arduous task to try to keep up with that information. I think it's a lot easier to just go with the two boards and the two committees, so I'm in favor of that.
Okay, any other comments? Councilman Heath?
Mayor, myself, I sit on a couple of boards already with the National League of Cities, and when they send me the paperwork telling me that they're having a meeting, like I believe Little Rock, Arkansas was the last one that I was familiar with, I just choose not to go because I just don't see the need for the city to pay for something that, you know, that I could take care of in the regular two meetings with National League of Cities during the year. So I think that the two boards and the $3,700 used for that would be very sufficient.
Any other discussion? Okay, the consensus. So your consensus from the council is that we will go with two?
Yes.
Opposed.
Okay. So it's five council members to one opposing the $3,700 being used for just the two boards and committees. So, Ms. Finance Director, FY19-20 budget, that $3,700 will only be used for two boards or committees by council members.
Yes.
Okay, beside the NLC and the GMA.
Those four amendments bring total $297,510 and brings the adopted general fund budget to $17,293,127. The next amendment is for the confiscated assets fund in the amount of $29,712 to increase funding for building renovations, and the technology fee fund to establish a budget in the amount of $174,510, which increases computer software expenses for court services and the police department.
Okay. Are there any other questions to Ms. Jackson on the FY19-20 budget? Seeing none, is there a motion on the floor to approve the FY19-20 budget?
So moved.
Motion made by Councilman Smallwood, second by Councilman Heath. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0. FY19-20 budget is now approved. Our last item on the agenda, and we skipped over it, is a proclamation. And so I'm going to ask Mayor Pro Tem Davis if she would come down with me as we present this proclamation. For the audience, 2 years ago, at the corner of West Campbellton and 92, Mr. Sheets lost his wife in a car accident. Shayna lost her mom. They vigorously campaigned with the Georgia Department of Transportation to get a light placed at the corner of 92 and West Campbellton. It is an honor for me to stand before you tonight, and a pleasure with the help of Lester Thompson, staff here with the City of Fairburn, Mr. Sheets, Ms. Sheets, going to DOT, going out on the corner, campaigning and with signs in the air. A light is up now. It is flashing. The light is flashing, and it will be fully operational, Mr. Thompson, on Thursday. Is that correct? So it's flashing now to let everyone know that there's a light there. DOT normally will flash a light for several days before it's actually operational, so that your mindset knows that you are to stop. There's a traffic light. And so with all of their hard work, I saw you all a couple of months ago at an affair, and we was talking about it's going to come one day soon. Well, the day is here. And so we wanted to do a proclamation to the family today in honor of their mother, his wife, with this proclamation. I'm going to let Mayor Pro Tem Davis begin the proclamation, because she was one of the guiding forces behind it also.
Thank you, Mayor. Proclamation, honoring the installation of the traffic light in memory of Mrs. Shirley Pompey Sheets. Whereas Ms. Shirley Pompey Sheets' family was very instrumental in the installation of the traffic light at Highway 92. Mrs. Sheets departed this life on Wednesday, March 22nd, 2017, at age 72. And whereas traffic lights regulate the flow of vehicles, it provides a safe movement for cars to avoid collisions with other automobiles and people. And whereas traffic lights not only make car traffic a lot safer, but also pedestrian traffic, they help reduce the number of accidents and make collisions and intersections a lot less frequent. And whereas traffic lights play a critical and vital role when it comes to safety in our everyday lives, and whereas though the beloved wife, mother, daughter, and friend left this world suddenly at the intersection of West Campbellton and Highway 92, we know she is at peace in heaven with God and other loved ones. Therefore, Mayor,
I, Mayor Elizabeth Carhurst of the City of Fairburn, along with Mayor Pro Tem Linda J. Davis, Council Members Alex Heath, Pat Pallon, Hattie Portis Jones, Ulysses Smallwood, and James Whitmore, do recognize, honor, and thank the family of the late Mrs. Shirley Pompey Sheets for their persistence in advocating the installation of a traffic light on Highway 92 in West Campbellton in Fairburn, Georgia, to ensure no other lives will be lost on this 23rd day of September 2019.
Signed.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah, sure.
I just want to say that you know the cliche now that it takes a village. And the way we were able to get that done, we had the backing of the police department. I would always drop that whenever I was talking with GDOT. So we got the Fairburn Police Department. We had neighbors. We had community members. And in numerous letters or faxes, dating myself. I would always say that we have the community support. And that helped a great deal. And I said that I'm not the lone wolf out here, the lone ranger screaming for a light. We had everybody in support. So again, I even though when we were out picketing, I never will forget this, we had a number of people, one guy in particular stuck with me. He said, I don't know what kind of an engineer he was or is, he said, well, don't you know if you put up a traffic light, that could impede traffic? It could slow traffic down? I started to throw that sign in the car, but I didn't. But I'm just saying, that was a type of discourse that we were dealing with. There was some for it. They were in the minority, but nevertheless, there was some for it. But again, we had the support of everybody in Ms. Mayor. Your staff has been tremendous. I could call, ask for documents. I could get it from the police department. I could get it from this young lady that's going to be leaving us, right? And they were all so very helpful. But again, it took a village to get it, and we've got it.
and I want to thank you all. And I've become almost a member of the Fairburn family now. My daughter was so impressed with this operation, she said, I want to come back. But anyway, again, like
thank
I said,
so
again, thank you so very
thank
much.
You. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Council comments. Let's start with Councilwoman Portis Jones.
I too am very happy to see that there's a light at that intersection. Several people that I know were in near accidents. So hats off to you for turning a tragedy into a success. And really, really, Mr. Sheets and Ms. Sheets, want to applaud your efforts, your persistence, because it things like this don't happen overnight. And it takes a lot of work and it takes consistency. And I know your wife is smiling down on you, and your mother is saying to you, well done. So you are to be very, very proud of yourself. It is a huge addition to the community. So thank you so much for that. I also want to say that all of last week I was in Washington and in our nation's capital lobbying on behalf of my city as well as cities all across the country, really having meetings with members of Congress, not only Georgia delegation, but delegations in nine other states. The most important issue that we talked about was avoidance of the shutdown, which is looming. And we shared stories on how the shutdown impacted our communities. Personal stories, one story, one by one. And that they must, at all cost, avoid another shutdown, because many communities are still recovering from the last shutdown, and they haven't fully done so yet. And to have it compounded with another shutdown just would be devastating to all of us. We do believe that they heard our message. I got an email back that both sides realized that politics aside, government shutdown would not be in anybody's best interest. So Congress has passed what they call a continuing resolution, and that is to continue to fund the federal government through November 21st, which is not long, but it will get us through there. Unfortunately, the Senate is yet to pass it. So I am asking all of you to reach out to our senators to let them know that a government shutdown is unacceptable, and that it would have a huge impact on all of our communities. I believe they are very, very receptive. And both sides of the aisle, I met with Republicans and Democrats, talked about they want to avoid this at all costs. So with your help as a resident of this country to say that another shutdown would be unacceptable, they really do need to hear from all of us. So I ask you that on behalf of the federal employees who live in our communities, and in our community specifically, and was devastatingly impacted by the shutdown last year. Other issues that we talked about were infrastructure, which is a huge issue. I mean, we were standing out in the lobby talking about water sewer repair that needs to be made. All of our cities have aging infrastructure,
and we are in constant repair mode. And so how can we ever get ahead of the game if we can't have the funds necessary to help us do what is necessary to replace that infrastructure? So I won't go into at length about that, but just to say that we need, our delegation needs to hear from all of us that a shutdown needs to be avoided. Thank you.
Councilman Fallon?
No comment.
Councilman Smallwood?
Well, I always just thank everybody for coming out. Always does my heart good to hear, you know, like Mr. Sheets just said, how our city just helps, you know, and I've constantly rolled around in the city, ride around, and I mean, I just love my city. I was sitting on a panel Saturday morning. I'm an educator, for those who don't know. And several of the people that were in the audience came up to me because I told them that I also am a councilman in Fairburn, and they just, so many people are moving here. Where's the gentleman? The gentleman that just moved, there was several other people that told me they came here and they saw it and they didn't want to leave. I truly still believe that we are situated to succeed, and the love that we have in Fairburn, we have to keep that. Being an educator, the kids are watching us too. So I always just want us to keep that at the center of what we're doing. They're watching us. And another thing too, I watch the news daily too. I thank God for our police force in this safe city. I want to also just caution us to be safe out there. I saw some stories that I was sharing with Officer Lynch on the news a little while ago about some good Samaritans approaching some people. Let the police do the police work. Mm-hmm. All right, even though we're vigilant and want our communities to stay safe and stay how we want them to be, because these are the communities that we've invested in that say we want to stay here. Stay safe, though. Do not approach anyone, because I know, like I say, it's not the same day that, you know, I'm 48, I don't mind dating myself, so it's not even the same day that I grew up in. So just be safe, and let's just love each other. Thank you.
You are. Mayor Pro Tem Davis.
Yes, I just want to highlight the Sheets family. I've been keeping in touch with them since around March when I found out what fantastic and unrelenting power of citizenry that you exhibited. You could have just gone away and complained and just been angry and blamed people, but you didn't. That's the way we do things. We as legislators or council people cannot do it all. We need citizens to take up the banner and be persistent in the things that you believe in and that the city needs to do. I admire that, and I'm just so honored to have met you and also kept in contact with you. God continue to bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Heath?
Yes, ma'am. I'd just like to say, Mr. Sheets, sorry for your loss, number one. I'm sure you must have loved her with all your heart. I know how hard it would be if I lost my other half. But also, red light has been needed in that area for quite some time. I mean, people... And believe me, we've gone to the DOT, but you got results. They didn't listen to us, but you got results, and thank you for that. Ms. Miller, I just want to say welcome to the city, our family, and I'm sure that you're going to have your hands full in the next month or so. I just hope that you stay here a lot longer than a year or two.
Yeah.
Stay with us at least 15 or 20 years. Just saying. And like I say, it's a pleasure as always to be in this city. I grew up in this city. I've been here 69 years, and I can tell you right now, the city has never ceased to amaze me. You know, a lot of times, especially at Christmas time, you see all of the Christmas paintings of Santa Claus and all that. So I grew up in this city, and it was like some of the famous artists that paint the Santa Clauses and everything. the five and dime stores and the drug stores that had the facilities to cook your hamburger or whatever like that. And then we also had a Fairburn Theater, believe it or not. And Lash LaRue, I remember him very vividly. But every Saturday we would go and with a Capitola token to the Fairburn Theater. And it was just, Fairburn has always been just a joyous place. It's kind of, I don't know the words to explain how Fairburn is, but once it gets in your blood, it'll always be there, and you'll look forward to every year doing the things that are necessary to enhance the livelihood and the joys that the city can bring. And thank y'all ever so much. Thank you.
Councilman Whitmore.
Thank you, Mayor. I echo everything that my colleagues have said in reference to the sheets. And it's amazing how much a few people can get done that a government could not get done. So I really applaud you for that. And also thank you for sharing your family photos too. This is touching, and I saw the emotions, I saw the tears. But you know, God still has you. Just allow him to continue to carry you. Also, Ms. Birdsong Miller, congratulations. Welcome to Fairburn. Mm-hmm. And I know you will be here probably 20 plus years. Also, I just want to thank you, ma'am, for the budget. And again, I know it's a lot of hard work that went into that. We appreciate you and staff, and it wasn't easy, but this is the first year that we're doing this as early as we're doing it, and we're not worried about things because things are moving forward in a very positive fashion. So thank you for your diligence in that respect as well, all of your staff. Thank you. And last but not least, I will say, early voting starts October the 15th. I ask each and every one of you to please allow or notify your friends and family that early voting starts October the 15th at our library here in Fairburn. Thank you much.
Thank you so much. Just one or two comments to the Sheets family. Our thoughts and prayers continue to be with you. And every time I go down West Campbellton and get to that light, I'm going to remember why it's there. Yes. And so the city of Fairburn worked very hard, along with Lester Thompson in our community development and GDOT. It's everybody, I don't guess everybody knows this, but GDOT is not someone or a company that you can really expect to just get anything done quickly from. But they moved very quickly on that light, and they had given us some years ahead for that light to be installed, but only God.
Yes,
only God. Yes, and so, again, Ms. Miller, thank you so much, and welcome to the city of Fairburn. We're looking for some great days ahead. We have a lot of work ahead of us, and I thank you, and I have a meeting on Wednesday with our interim clerk that's leaving us on Thursday. So, Council, she will be leaving us on Thursday, going back to Savannah. But we want to thank her for always coming in and doing her job. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Speech.
Don't go.
Would you say something to us before you leave?
Yeah.
Please. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And with that being said, I need a motion to, we have an executive session tonight on personnel, And so I'm going to ask for a motion to adjourn into executive session.
So move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, motion and second. Heath?
Open the door.
Okay. Motion to come out of executive session is Mr. Whitmore, second. Mayor Pro Tem Davis, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Good night.
Good night, good people.
Good night.
Oh, yeah. All right, great. All right, y'all have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Oh, my wife says she saw you.
Thank you.